Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you,
Lord.
As Jesus and his disciples were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And they were overwhelmed with grief. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax approached Peter and said, "Does not your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes," he said. When he came into the house, before he had time to speak, Jesus asked him, "What is your opinion, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take tolls or census tax? From their subjects or from foreigners?" When he said, "From foreigners," Jesus said to him, "Then the subjects are exempt. But that we may not offend them, go to the sea, drop in a hook, and take the first fish that comes up. Open its mouth, and you will find a coin worth twice the temple tax. Give that to them for me and for you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Sometimes it's a challenge to find a point of concordance between the readings and the feast of the day, and it requires a little bit of work. Today is one of those days. But I think that the point that overlaps that we should learn from in our Christian life is the whole notion of freedom. When Jesus arrived in Capernaum, those who would come once a year to collect the temple tax came up to Peter. Peter was a little bit of a slave of human respect. They asked him, "Does your teacher pay the temple tax?" And without knowing really the answer, but not wanting to embarrass himself, embarrass Jesus, everybody else before those who were collecting the temple tax, he said, "Of course he does." But Jesus wanted to give him a real lesson. It's a real sign in three respects today of Jesus' divine knowledge. But first, that he knew what Peter was saying. And then we'll also see in terms of what he would say by means of his parable. And third, by what he would have Peter do in order to fulfill what had been asked. But he gets into this dialogue with Peter. Who pays taxes? You know, in colonialism, what would always happen is, for example, when Britain would go on out and conquer lands, it was the United States, it was Australia, it was all the colonies in Africa that would pay for the royal family. It wouldn't be the immediate British subjects there in England. They were exempt. All the more, a king would never tax his sons and daughters. He would tax all those who were in the country in order to support the royal family so that they would have the freedom in order to be able to lead, was the mentality of the time. So Jesus asked that question, do the sons actually pay the temple tax? Peter realized that the answer was no. Jesus was that son. He was the one who, when he was found in the temple at the age of 12, said that he had to be in his father's house. Why would he be paying the 2 days wage, the half shekel, for the temple tax if he were really the son? Likewise, we've all become sons in the son. So in a sense, we would all be exempt. Beyond that, Jesus himself was the temple, and he was going to be making us the temple. So this part of the Mosaic law from Exodus 30 was expiring with the coming of the Lord Jesus. So they were absolutely under no obligation to pay for it. They were free. This word, then the subjects are exempt, is really, then the sons are free. That's what the Greek is. Free, don't have to do it. But then Jesus went on, but that we may not offend them, go to the sea, drop in a hook, take out the first fish you catch, and the fish will have a stater in it, one of these Greco-Roman coins that was worth 2 shekel, twice the temple tax. What we see here is even though Jesus wasn't obliged, even though he was free of the temple tax, he knew what the purpose of freedom was. purpose of freedom was to serve and to love others. And he knew that if he wasn't paying it, people would get scandalized about their own duties toward God and everything else like that. So even though he was free, he was going to use his freedom. He was free from the tax, but he was going to use his freedom for actually helping others grow to God. And that's the great principle that he was teaching us. Jesus, again, was free from sin. And yet he freely took on our sin, as we hear at the beginning of this gospel, that he would be handed over to men. He was free from death. He did no sin. But yet, he said he would freely take on our death. They will kill him. That's the real Christian motivation. There are a lot of things from which we would be exempt because of what God has done for us. But we always need to have that sense, not of invoking our privileges, but seeing where we can really lay down our lives in service of others after Jesus. That's the real meaning of freedom. And that's a message that the church has to give today, because our world thinks that to be free means they can do whatever they want, rather than use the gift of freedom in order to lay down their lives out of love for God and others. That's the purpose of our freedom. And if we don't use our freedom that way, we are slaves, period. Slaves of our own privilege, slaves of our own lack of dignity, which thinks that we've got to accentuate those exemptions in order to affirm our dignity, rather than show our real dignity in behaving like Jesus. Another example of freedom. It's what we encounter in the reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel today, indirectly. We're going to be hearing the prophet Ezekiel for the next 2 weeks, all the way through next Friday. And the book of Ezekiel was written by this young priest, Ezekiel, as he hit his 30th birthday. He was born in the same town as Jeremiah was, of the high priestly class. But in 597, after the rebellion we were hearing about last week that Jeremiah was for God trying to talk the vassal kings out of, they brought most of the royal class, the priestly class, in 597 to Babylon. Eventually, after another rebellion 10 years later, everybody would be going to Babylon. But so Ezekiel was already there. It was the time at the age of 30 where he would have begun his temple service as a priest. So doubtless he was a little sad about what was occurring. He went down by the river there in Babylon. And it was there that God gave him the visions that we're going to be hearing about for the next 2 weeks. Even though he was in captivity there in Babylon, he was still free. God was saying, you don't have to go to the temple in Jerusalem to be able to worship me. I will allow you and all the exiles here in Jerusalem to worship me while you're in chains, weeping by the waters of Babylon. That's precisely what he did. He saw an incredible image of God's glory right there in the midst of slavery. Because even when we're externally bound, we can be internally free. It's the real meaning of freedom. And we're going to have Ezekiel teach us all what God was teaching him over the next 2 weeks. And today we celebrate the great saint, Saint Clare, one of the most beautiful saints of all time. She was 19. She came from a very noble family in Assisi. But she had heard Saint Francis preach, and she begged to be able to be allowed to live according to the manner of the Holy Gospel. She knew that even though she had it all, and as a woman in the Middle Ages, she even had an incredible education, tutors teaching her, which was rare at the time. She had incredible human freedoms, but she knew that she was made for more. She begged Francis for that gift. Her parents were absolutely opposed to her entering religious life at all, not to mention a mendicant religious life. Fine, in a sense, if you wanted to be a Benedictine, we know that you're not going to starve to death as a Benedictine. Why would you be following this cuckoo who is dressed in a carpet bag with a rope for a sash, not even wearing sandals, constantly going out and begging, pretending as if God really can be taken seriously in the gospel, that he'll care for us more than the lilies of the field or the birds of the sky? So her parents absolutely opposed. On Palm Sunday, though, when she was 19, she was overwhelmed at Mass as the bishop was passing out palms in the cathedral. She just stayed in her pews. She felt, in a sense, paralyzed to move. But then the bishop came down and gave her palms right there in the pew, and that was a sign that she took as a sign from God saying, Sforza, have some confidence. So that night she ran away from home. She ran down the slopes of Assisi to the Porziuncola, which is where St. Francis and the first Franciscan friars were. She entered. They waited for her with some lit candles because she was going to be one of those wise virgins with lamps lit to meet the Lord. Before the altar, St. Francis cut off her beautiful hair, which you can still see almost 800 years later there in Assisi. Vested her in the habit, Francis gave her his own cincture, and she started to live the very poor life. But she was totally free. The world at the time thought that in order to be free you needed to be rich. She knew that you needed to be detached from all the possession, and so through her vow of poverty, she was experiencing freedom. The world thought in order to be free, you had to have all the love, however you defined it. She defined it in the most supreme way of all, that love of God with which she lived through the vow of chastity. The world thought in order to be free, you couldn't be a slave to anyone or anything. You needed to be the boss. You needed to have people snapping at your fingers. Claire knew that real freedom came from serving the Lord and serving others out of love. So it was free. She was free. She taught her poor Claires throughout the century this real path to freedom. All of this finds its culmination in the most free act imaginable. Jesus' free act of the giving of himself, by which he wants to make us free. Jesus said in the sermon on how he is the good shepherd that no one takes his life from him. He freely lays it down. He freely lays down. He freely gives that life for us every day. And he wants this to become the foundation of our own freedom. But we really need to be coming out of love if it's free, not out of a duty. And it's here that all of the mysteries that we mark on today come to their fruition. Jesus isn't going to say, go down to the Taunton River or Watapa Pond and cast a line and catch a fish, get a shekel. He's in fact going to put something the size of a stater into our own mouths, because we are the fish that are caught by the same bait, Jesus himself, by which the first apostles were caught. It's here that we're able to glimpse the Lord's glory, but under really humble appearances. We don't have to go to a water over in Iraq in order to be able to find it. It happens right here. It was here that St. Claire received her great gift every day. For the last couple decades of her life, St. Claire was incredibly ill and suffering. She was offering that for the church. But she asked the Lord for a special favor while she was there in her cell. She asked that on the wall of her cell she would be able to see the Mass as it was occurring in the chapel. The Lord granted that prayer. She's the patron saint of television for that reason. 700 years before television was even invented, because she was able to see everything live for that reason. So much did she hunger for Jesus that even when she was, in a sense, a slave to her bed, she still wanted to be free to unite herself to the Lord. When Frederick Barbarossa was coming to sack Assisi, and he was devastating everywhere, he had come upon her convent because her convent was not protected. It was down the slope of Assisi, outside the walls. She turned to the Lord in prayer in the Eucharist, and she said, you have to protect those who have consecrated themselves to you. She heard Jesus say, I will never abandon you. So she put Jesus in a monstrance, and she went up to the window where Frederick and all his soldiers were trying to climb to get in. They saw the Eucharist staring at them from the top, and they were frightened. They fell off their ladders, and they started to scamper away. The incredible trust she had in the Lord Jesus in the Eucharist to cast away all those who would want to enslave us. This is the greatest way in which we can learn from her how to live according to the manner of the Holy Gospel. This is the great way in which we learn that we would rather forsake all the things in the world and unite ourselves to the poor, chaste, and obedient Christ than the other way around. As we prepare to see the Lord in His glory, let us ask Him for the grace to love Him like St. Clair. Praise be Jesus Christ.